Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. Getting closer, a little bit closer. We're almost there. It is December 24. It is the day before Christmas. And oh, what a wonderful time of year, especially, and maybe only, if the real purpose for this annual holiday is observed and is made foremost in our minds. It's wonderful to have family gatherings, highly recommended, wonderful to exchange gifts, tokens of love and appreciation, and ways to express our love to one another and our appreciation to God who makes this possible, and just a way to draw families together and to renew friendships. There's so many wonderful things about this time of year. And, of course, the gifts we give to one another are actually a small reflection of the greatest gift, the one that God gave. God is the great giver. God gave the greatest gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So this gift giving, maybe you've never thought about it that way, but this gift giving is actually a picture, a symbol, a reminder, a reflection of God's giving of his Son. Very appropriate at Christmas time. And that's why, no doubt, there is more gift giving at Christmas than any other holiday. We generally give gifts at birthdays, which, of course, there's no one date when everybody celebrates a holiday called the birthday holiday. We celebrate birthdays on the appropriate birthday of each individual, and some are being celebrated every day of the year, 365 days of the year. Somebody somewhere is celebrating a birthday. Many people somewhere are celebrating birthdays, and generally gifts are given then. But I think you will all agree that the biggest volume of gift giving, the greatest dollar cost total to each person of the gifts which are given, and the number of gifts that are given fall on this particular holiday. This is the one above all others that emphasizes the idea of giving, giving, giving. In a world of getting, 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 this is the time when there is giving, giving, giving. But, of course, if a person's heart's not right, they may focus on what they're getting instead of what they're giving. It would be nice if we could give without getting, so that we could really enter into the right spirit of the holiday. But, of course, that really doesn't work very well, because if you give, you generally get in return. That's the way gift giving works. So many times it is a matter of exchange. But a recommendation, a proposal would be to find at least someone or more than one someones who you can give to who are incapable of giving back to you. Find some needy people, some needy person. Give to them. Remember what Jesus said, when you have a feast, invite in people who can really benefit and appreciate from it, and I'm just paraphrasing now, who can't give you a banquet in return. Don't just invite people that, from a social standpoint, are going to feel the obligation to return the favor. Well, they invited us over to their house for a meal, so now we're obligated to invite them over to our house for a meal. That's the way it often goes, doesn't it? And that's often the spirit that's involved in gift giving. Well, they gave us a gift last Christmas, and we didn't give them one, and that was rather embarrassing. So this year, let's be sure we give them one. And then, of course, sometimes, as you all know, you give one this year because they gave one last year, but because you didn't give one last year, they decide not to give one this year. So now you've tipped the scales back the other way, and oh, isn't that frustrating? When you've got this tit for tat, this reciprocal requirement that the only proper way is to give to those who give to you. And if you receive a gift, you're obligated to give a gift, then it becomes more of a time of tension and frustration and a high-pressure situation than it does the wonderful joy of giving without any thought of receiving in return, which is the way it ought to be. But having said all of that, I haven't yet welcomed you to this Thursday, December 24, edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and reminded you that we are in need of your gifts. And one way you could give in a manner that would not be reciprocal, because we're not going to give any monetary gifts back to you. What we're giving to you is the Word of God. What we're giving to you is our labor in studying God's Word and in teaching God's Word on the radio. And so we give to you something that you don't give to us, but you, in return, can give to us something that we could not give to you. And thus, we both give and we both receive, but in different ways and in different categories, of which are important categories, and which is exactly what the Bible teaches. We need your gifts to stay on the air. Please consider a year-end gift to the Beacon Broadcast. Well, back to Revelation chapter 12, which is where we started talking about the Incarnation from this highly symbolic book of Revelation. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And, it goes on to say, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in the heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. And I will stop reading there. It goes on. This is a powerful passage, highly symbolic, but I'm confident that it is describing the conflict of the ages that started in the Garden of Eden, when that old dragon, Satan, and the devil deceived Eve and then brought her husband Adam to sin against God, to transgress his commandment, and plunged all of the human race into sin and darkness and condemnation. And that condition would have resulted in all people going into eternal condemnation, but God, rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to live that perfect life of obedience which we did not live, to die that agonizing death upon the cross, which included separation, total separation of himself from God for a period of time while he hung upon the cross. And thus he experienced the judgment which is deserved by every sinner, but he bore that judgment in the place of sinners. He bore that judgment as a substitute for sinners. And all those who trust in him have his perfect righteousness, his perfect obedience, credited to their account. An amazing thing. And the guilt which deserves the punishment of eternal separation from God is removed from their account because Christ bore that judgment. The judgment has been met. The price has been paid. The penalty has been fulfilled. The justice of God has been fully satisfied. And that, dear friends, is the message of Christmas. It's not so much about the wonder of a little babe in a manger, though that's how it all began. That was the beginning. That was the first evidence of this wonderful doctrine, this wonderful truth of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, how that God stepped out of heaven's glory down to earth's misery and became a man in order to become the substitute for sinners. It all began, well, it actually began with the virgin conception, but it was not revealed to the eyes of men until Jesus was born and placed in that manger. That is the beginning. That is a wonderful beginning, a wonderful truth, and worthy of our memory, of our celebration, and our remembering it in a specific and a very careful way, as we have wonderful opportunity to do at this time of year. But it's not the babe in the manger who saves, it's the Christ upon the cross who rose bodily from the dead, who saves those who trust in him. And that's the message of Christmas. Jesus is the reason for this season. Don't forget it. Don't neglect it. Don't leave out of your Christmas remembrances the center of the reason for Christmas, the thing that ought most to be remembered. Don't be so careless and so godless as to leave that out of your celebrations. Jesus Christ was born to save sinners. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.